If you were given complete authority to set up either a governmental space program or a program that would fund the private sector, what would you do and how would you do it?
I think it would depend more on private sector growth because you get far more ideas, and many of them are a little out of the box. Government thinking is sometimes rather restricted, even though you can get some really great talent because you have a lot of funding, you have deep pockets to work with. But, you know, the people who have the highest confidence in what they're doing and in their abilities and the ones who have the biggest challenges in front of them tend to produce very much, you know, everything that we have. If it were up to me, I would set up some sort of an office in the government to work with private companies to develop different aspects of the commercial space flight industry. I certainly wouldn't restrict it the way NASA and the government have at the present time.
Let's talk again about who some of the major players are in private space development. Of course, you mentioned Bigelow. We've got Virgin. He's doing very well building what he's doing. He's even building his spaceport. What other companies are involved here, Sir Charles?
Well, okay, you know, you mentioned Robert Bigelow, and he's one of the biggest players with his company, Bigelow Aerospace. Bert Rutan from Scaled Composites is one of the major figures in space development, and you can find him at scaled.com, and he has a long history of aeronautical innovations and has been one of the truly most significant contributors to aviation in years. As everyone probably knows, he and his efforts won the X Prize a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and he's produced a vehicle that can carry passengers for suborbital flights. And then he sold that technology to Sir Richard Branson, who's our next major figure in private space development. Now, Sir Richard is developing spacecraft from that technology, and he has Virgin Galactic, and that is a company that will offer $200,000 suborbital space flights to anybody who comes up with the money. And they will be flying, I believe, in less than 2 years, the way things are running. And he's basically mass-producing these vehicles. And, you know, let me point out that it would take just a very minor modification, and instead of carrying passengers, you could actually launch a small satellite from one of these things with a booster on it to place it in orbit. So that's just something for people to consider that might not have come to the table yet. Another player is Elon Musk, and SpaceX is his company. Now, this is interesting because Elon Musk started in electronic publishing, and he set up a company that became PayPal.
Okay.
And made many millions of dollars on
sure.
the Internet. And one of his projects was the Mars Oasis Project. He planned to land a greenhouse on Mars and use the soil to grow crops. And it came to a halt because of the exorbitant cost of launch. So he began to dedicate himself and his company that he started to bringing the cost of launch down so that it would be far more reasonable so that he and other companies as well could be able to afford this sort of thing. And here's another interesting one, John Carmack of Armadillo Aerospace. Now, many people don't know, John Carmack is the fellow who wrote the game Doom, and everybody has played Doom. It's a very popular computer and video
right.
game, and there is even a movie made at one point. Well, John Carmack was the guy who wrote the game, and he made millions of dollars on it and founded Armadillo Aerospace, and they've made a very serious effort and built some very interesting flight hardware. Now, his company recently competed in the Lunar Lander Challenge that was held and was just a hair's breadth away from actually winning. Basically, they had to launch a vehicle that under robotic control or automatic control would fly to a designated area, make a landing, pick up and come back again, and land at the original takeoff site. And it's a very interesting challenge, and it's a very technically difficult challenge, and they're very close to cracking it. And another person, Peter Diamandis, who is in the XPRIZE Foundation. He's the head of the XPRIZE Foundation, and he's also the co-founder of Zero Gravity Corporation. And that's a company that gives zero gravity flights aboard aircraft that fly the parabolic paths. It's in
right.
zero G for the passengers. And he also created the Rocket Racing League, which we'll be seeing a lot of things in the news with very shortly. And he's the co-founder and director of Space Adventures Limited, and that's the company that's flown for Space Tourists, the International Space Station. So they're making money and they're doing business. John Powell from JP Aerospace, that's another competitor. He's working on a concept of airships to orbit. Basically, they're flying high-altitude balloon craft that take packages to the very edge of space. Then they're developing an airship to orbit craft so they'll be able to launch them into space from the top edge of the atmosphere, using literally a balloon to get you up there. Then there's Jeff Bezos from Blue Origin. Now, he's the founder of Amazon.com. And many people know that's where he made his billions. And so we see a lot of people who are entrepreneurs or mavericks, who some of them are Internet billionaires, and they're putting their money into space, and people may wonder why. Well, it's the up-and-coming thing. We know that there's going to be life in space. People are going to be moving and working and commuting there.
Sure.
And so these people are investing because they see where the future is. Now, his company is developing a reusable liquid fuel propulsion system, and they're working toward a manned suborbital launch system that will give you low-cost launch services. And then another one, David Mastin of Mastin Space Systems. They're putting together standard launch systems for payloads in 1 kilogram increments. So if you wanted to launch 2 or 5 or 7 kilograms, you could work out a very easy pay schedule and figure out what it's going to cost, and they'll launch it for you. And they're selling slots in their vehicles for something called CanSats. You basically can put something up about the size of a soda can that weighs 350 grams, and they're working on basically flying anything you want, and they're working on larger packages as well, as long as, you know, not hazardous, not going to blow up their rocket. And then there are non-rocketry solutions to space travel. Michael Lane at Liftport, that's a space elevator company, they're developing the space elevator hardware that will go up and down a tether made of carbon fibers, and this tether will reach from orbit all the way to the ground. And then there's Bradley C. Edwards of Carbon Designs Incorporated. They have a high lift systems thing. They're at AmericanAntiGravity.com. They have a page there that you can see what they're doing. And basically, these are people who are building elevators that go all the way into space from the ground.
Yeah, that concept is incredible, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. And it can be a very serious competitor to spaceflight because it's so low in cost. And once it's set up, it could actually compete very favorably with a lot of transport systems because you can carry something halfway up the tether and let it go, and it will ballistically proceed to the ground somewhere with a little guidance. You can develop stuff that will go all over the world without the use of rockets. You go up in an elevator to some altitude, you kick the payload out, and it follows a path to the ground. Now, they could both run into some trouble in the near term because of the materials they're using. Composites are the issue here. You know, Boeing and other large aircraft companies are presently developing air bodies that will be completely made of composites rather than a magnesium or aluminum. And they want to do this because it's going to cut thousands of pounds off every aircraft they produce. Well, if they go ahead with the plan, then it's going to put a serious dent into the availability of carbon and composite materials over the next few years. Presently, aircraft and sporting goods are the largest use of carbon composites as far as I've been able to determine. You know, golf clubs and bicycles and kayaks, all these things are made out of carbon composites now.
Airplane brakes, right?
Exactly. And if Boeing or other large companies decides to use this material on the scale that they're planning, it would actually make this material unavailable to many other industries. So I would suggest if they do go ahead with their plan, you might want to invest in that as a growth industry because carbon composites are going to be a very important material. And so there could be an effect on the materials needed to build a space elevator as well as other things.